So, welcome back. We now have Samuel Cabrero here, who is from Sentiel, and we'll talk about another integration of Samba into a real product. Enjoy it.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Samuel Cabrero, and I'm at Sentiel developer since January 2012. And this, I'm going to tell you the challenge and experience of integrating Samba 4 in the latest Sentiel server release. It's Sentiel server 3.0. But first of all, let me introduce what is Sentiel and what we do. Sentiel is the name of a small company. We are based in Spain, in Zaragoza. We are currently 25 employees, and we develop an all-in-one solution for small and medium businesses targeting deployment under 200 users. And we cover from the on-site server to the cloud. We have three main different products: Sentiel Server, Sentiel Remote for remote server administration, monitoring, and support, and the latest one, Sentiel Cloud, for synchronize the server storage with the cloud. Talking specifically about Sentiel Server, it's based on the latest release of Ubuntu Server LTS. And on top of the operating system, we deploy a modular framework written in Perl, where you can plug in or install on demand modules to manage the different system services. And currently, we officially support 39 modules on four main categories: gateway, infrastructure, office and communications, from firewall to certification authority, DHCP, Samba antivirus, Sarafa virtualization, thin clients, UPS management, everything that you can need for your business. This is a quick overview of our history. We started in 2004 the development of what was called Evox. This was the former name of Sentiel Server, because in 2010 we changed the name of the company from Evox Technologies to Sentiel. Currently, we have more than 50,000 server installations between banks, hospitals, city councils, educational institutions, etc. In fact, we have been integrating Samba in Sentiel for many years. In the previous Sentiel server, version 2.2, we integrated Samba 3 using OpenLDAP as backend for storage, as backend storage, and we supported basic Active Directory integration using our own component called AD-Sync. This component synchronizes user groups and group memberships from the Active Directory domain controllers through LDAP queries. And in order to synchronize passwords, we install a password complexity check, DLL, in the domain controller. So we intercept the password chain operations and forward to Sentiel over a secure connection. This approach obviously has a big drawback, and is that you have to reset all domain accounts to synchronize all the passwords with the Sentiel server. So that's why when we were planning the roadmap for Sentiel Server 3.0, we decided to integrate Samba 4. It was in Alpha 17 at those days. And this decision creates some challenges. The first of all, how we are going to deal with duplication of services, because Sentiel also has a LDAP server. We wanted to support also Kerberos authentication for the modules, even if Samba 4 is not installed on the Sentiel server, and DNS. Here we have two options. We could drop all the classic system daemons and use Samba 4 as the main backend for where all the modules trust to store information and authentication, or we can try to synchronize the information between the classical daemons and Samba 4 and make them live together in the server. And that's really what we did, because at that point we didn't have a deep knowledge of Samba 4. It was in alpha state yet. And right, otherwise we will be forced to rewrite all the related code in the modules, which was a lot of work, and we didn't have enough time to do this. So we took the synchronization way, and these are the challenges that we face it. First of all, the LDAP synchronization. In Sentinel server, all the modules use OpenLDAP as backend. So what we did was to extend the Sentinel framework, adding more callbacks for the operations performed by the user in the interface. So for example, when the administrator creates a new user, it is created before in Samba 4 in first place, and then created in OpenLDAP. We also have a rollback mechanism, so if there is any problem in any of the steps of the process, we can roll back the operation and leave the databases in a consistent state. This works when the action is performed in the user central interface, but when the action, when the administrator is using the remote server administration tool from a Windows workstation, what we have is a daemon running in the background that is querying the Samba 4 LDAP each 30 seconds and forwards the modifications to OpenLDAP. Having a look to the when changed attribute of the Samba 4 database, so if the entry has been modified or something, we forward the change. We are syncing users with Kerberos keys, groups and group memberships, but we still have some problems with nested groups. What we do is flatten them, and with in Sentinel Server 3.0, we doesn't support multi-O, so all the users are added to the same O in the server. Also, related with LDAP and IT management, we found some situations where an user could end having two different UID numbers on different servers. For example, if a user is created in 1DC, is using the remote tools from a Windows machine, the synchronization daemon takes the user, insert on OpenLDAP, and it gets assigned the first UID number free. Then Samba database is replicated to another domain controller, and the same happens. The synchronization daemon take, for example, 5 new users, but those users can be in a different order than created in the first one. So different UID numbers could be assigned. What we do to solve this situation is take the security identifier, the relative ID of the security, the Windows security identifier, use this number plus a fixed amount as the UID number for the user. This also works when the user is inserted through the user interface, because we create the user in Samba at first place, so when inserting in OpenLDAP, we already have the security identifier to extract the relative ID. About DNS and Kerberos, we are using Bind with the DLSet module, because when at the point when we started the development, the internal DNS server was not ready yet. About Heimdall, we have both Kerberos daemon running in the system on different ports, and we control which one is attending to the clients modifying the DNS records. here we still have some problems synchronizing the user interface with the Samba database content, because we don't populate the user interface with the content of the DNS partitions in the Samba database. This is a problem that this was an unexpected problem that we found, and is that the DL set was only supporting Kerberos Signet updates, while the DHCP server that we were using, the ESS DHCP server, only support symmetric K Signet updates. So this is a feature that we were providing in Sentinel 2.2, and we wish to maintain it. So we patched the DLSet module and the bin server to support it. The patch for the DLSet include a Bison parser to load the key from the keys that are allowed to update the domain from a file. And the patch for bind is for send the signal key to the DLSet module, so it can compare the key and allow or deny the update. Migration is a thing that some customers were asking to us. They want to completely migrate to Sentinel and forgot about Windows Server. And we found that it was not possible to demote the last domain controller, because he was complaining about the transfer of the domain DNS zones and forest DNS zones partitions. So we created an automatic script to run manually on the Sentinel server. And this script, in three steps, first of all, synchronize the sysvol content from the last domain controller, then transfer the master roles from the Windows domain controller to Samba 4. And last, you can shut down the Windows server. And about sysvol replication, we have implemented a chained sysvol replication, that is, when you join a new Sentinel domain controller to a domain, you have to specify the name of a domain controller that is used for the join operation, and also is taken as the parent for the sysvol content. So this new server pulls the content from this specified domain controller. That means that the administrator has to be conscious which is the first server on the chain to modify always the GPOs on that server, because otherwise the chain is broken and the replication of the content will fail and get out of sync. We are transferring the contents of the sysvol using the net RPC command, to be able to pull also from the Windows servers, and this also allow us to synchronize the ACLs of the files, not only the content. And antivirus is something that we already have in Sentinel 2.2. It was based in the Samba VSCAN that has been deprecated. So in Sentinel 3.0, we have moved to scanned only VFS plugin with a custom daemon, and we use a patched version of the scanned only plugin to avoid an error deleting directories and also to send additional information for the domain, for the daemon. The daemon is a multi-threaded daemon that ask the claimed to scan the file and log in the log files if a virus has been found. Sentinel, I'm talking about Sentinel 3.2 roadmap. We are focusing most of our effort on integrating to provide a better integration of Samba 4. We want the modules to be able to authenticate against an external domain controller. We also wish to provide a standalone file server because there are clients that don't want a domain controller, just file sharing. We also are going to implement multiple contacts and mail distribution lists, and we want to develop a easy GPO management module to, for example, create a really basic GPO such as run this script on system login or set up this set Sentinel as the proxy to use and so on. Well, so I think that I have been really quick, so we have lot of time for questions that I will be very pleased to answer. If you want to enter in specifically more technical details, so please ask me whatever you want.
Okay. Maybe in one of the slides you mentioned that you have a scenario where you use Samba 4 and also the conflicting, the duplicate services like LDAP and so on. I didn't quite get what you do. Do you have both installed and do replication of some sort, or do you say, okay, either Samba 4 LDAP or the existing Open LDAP?
You're talking about synchronization between LDAP and Samba 4?
Or? Yeah, in a previous slide, maybe you said, okay, that here, services duplication. LDAP wasn't there before, and if you use Samba 4 with its own LDAP, do you still install the Open LDAP or whatever it is? Or
Yes. All the Sentinel modules are using Open LDAP as the main backend, and then we also have the Samba 4 module that installs Samba 4 and use its own database. And we have the synchronization. We modified the flow of the operations in the framework. So if Samba is installed, we perform the modifications or the actions before on the Samba database, and then in the Open LDAP. And if something happens, we roll back.
So okay, you have a meta place where you go to Samba and to Open LDAP, and you don't replicate from one to the other. This is always a very interesting and difficult question, how to solve these issues with multiple directories. And so you have a meta directory or management interface where you replicate into both?
No, when the user performs an action in the interface, we have an observer patron. We intercept the operation, the Samba module implement the method, so it gets called, perform the operation, it can deny or allow, depending if it's a success or a failure, then the code returns and perform the operation in Open LDAP. So it's a linear, but you can switch and go to the Samba, then return and continue for Open LDAP.
And users you create will always appear in Samba's LDAP and in the Open LDAP?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over there, well, you want to be first?
This is the synchronization bidirectional. This is also possible to change it in Open LDAP first, and it gets propagated to the Samba 4, or is it just one way?
No, replication is bidirectional.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In all domain controllers.
Okay. How do you deal with the POSIX UIDs on file server? You told, with the combination of SID and chunk?
Yes. We use, as we create the user first in the Samba database, when a new user is added, before creating in OpenLDAP, we already have the security identifier in the Samba database. So we take the relative ID, which is guaranteed to be unique in the world domain. We add a fixed amount in all domain controllers. So we have a unique UID number. So we insert this number in the itemap LDB file, and that's the way we set up the IT mapping.
I have a question of my own. You mentioned something that the way you create users with your interface, that how do you deal with it when someone uses the Windows tools to create a user? As a Windows workstation uses the remote server administration tools and creates a user. I didn't quite get that. What do you do then?
We use a synchronization daemon. The user is inserted only in Samba, so Sentinel is not aware of this. So we have a daemon running in the background that is querying the Samba for LDAP database. It's 60 seconds, and he looked for the entries modified since the last query, looking to the when changed attribute in the Samba for database. So it forward apply them new modifications to OpenLDAP.
So there is a replication back from the Samba directory to the OpenLDAP directory. Mm-hmm. I have yet another question. As far as I know, you integrate Zarafa.
Yes.
For which you would need a schema extension. Do you apply it only in the OpenLDAP part,
yes,
or do
yes.
you apply it in the Samba directory too?
All the Sentinel modules are not aware of Samba. They trust only on OpenLDAP as backend.
So which would imply, if I'm correct, that you could not create a Zarafa user in the Arsa tools with your Windows, but you would need the Sentinel GUI to do that.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any more questions?
Oh. Yeah, first, just on that point, we also do it the same with Zarafa. To create the users in OpenLDAP. I think only the Senate appliance are using the AD scheme directly. My question was, you said that it is possible to have different SID or RID to UID assignments on different DCs. Did I get that right? If that's true, what's the use case?
This is a problem that we found in a customer deployment. He was synchronizing files without servers, and the user were getting different UID numbers in one server than another. So there was problem accessing the files with the permissions. So we traced the problem, and we found that this is the case where the user get a different UID number in one server than in another.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe a comment to this problem. This is, a problem or a confusion that is often arising. So in the first place, the ID mapping is completely local to the server, mm-hmm. unless you use an algorithm that is the same on all servers, or unless you use a common database. And so usually if you have two servers in the same domain and do ID mapping, then each server will get different user Unix IDs for the same Windows-style user or group object. And usually this is not a problem unless you copy with Linux methods beneath the nodes, between the nodes, and don't use, for instance, with rsync, we have these numeric IDs switch. So you can copy numerically or by name. If you copy by name, you won't have a problem. Or if you have an LDAP here, install the ID maps in LDAP. If you make sure that all servers use the same location in the LDAP for ID mapping, then you won't have a problem either. But it's a question how you copy between nodes. Same users can have different user IDs on various servers. If you copy with Windows, no problem. If you copy correctly with Unix, then it's also not a problem. But don't copy with numeric IDs. That's mm-hmm. that's the danger, I think, that's here.
Yeah, this is something that the customer, I don't know which is copy mechanism was using, but the problem was this. So we found this solution, and it's free, and we implemented it.
Maybe can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Okay. So I saw a very impressive number, something like more than 50,000 installations. That's quite a lot. So I'd like to understand, is that, well, your support business of Sentinel centered around these? So are you supporting all these installations? Or is that also people that just run their own? And
No, these are total, I think, these are, well, we have our CTO here. Maybe he can answer this question properly. I think these are total installations.
But all of them are with some of all, right?
Yeah. All of them are with some of all. You have a large number which are community based, which is.
So that's the overall number of installations. A lot of them are provided by the are deployed as part of the community edition, because Samba 4 is deployed by default in Zentiol. So it means that when you deploy Zentiol, and as soon as you want to do some operation with user management and have an office infrastructure based on Zentiol, you do have Samba 4. But the key point is that as part of starting with 3.0, Samba 4 is included by default and enabled whenever you need to do some operations. And apart from that, we also have some business cases which are providing for which we are providing business support and professional services on top of that. I think that within the next month we should be able some business cases that we can share publicly once everything is completed. I would just add a note on the 3.2 roadmap, because that's a bit of my baby too. And this is the 3.2 roadmap. We have a tighter integration. So the code freeze will occur on the 15th of June with a release in September. And where it's really, I mean, the core of the 3.2 is really aiming at a better Samba 4 integration, which means step by step planning on or trying to find the better angle, the better approach, so we can get rid of OpenLDAP for the existing modules and only base everything on Samba 4. So as you can imagine, that requires some work and some lot of engineering. But one of the things that we are starting to design and think about is about, for example, if you have OpenVPN and you want all of your client certificates, where rather than having them on the file system, having them stored directly into Samba 4 Active Directory. So, you know, these are the stuff that we are investigating, and obviously, you know, if it comes to patches for Samba 4, then, you know, just tack in.
I have yet another question, and I would like to extend that question to Arvid as well. We learned that you are using the OpenLDAP still very much, and my question would be, are you planning on replacing the OpenLDAP portion? Because you invested such a lot of work into making that run, and then Samba 4 came and is able to replace your directory portion of the whole thing. So how do you think is your roadmap regarding replacing the OpenLDAP part with Samba 4?
You went so far away.
Very clever, I admit.
Well, to be very honest, the main issue with Samba 4 right now is about having a good understanding of how much it scales. That is the main issue. We can replace, at some point we will be able to have all of our modules talk directly to Samba 4, but we need to have an information, not an evaluation, not just a random guess or a potential guess of how much user it would support. But we need, to have at least one number. We know that from this point, let's say 10,000 users. You know that if you are below 10,000 users on the same DC, it's going to work properly, and you can scale up. And if you go beyond, then where that the behavior, it should be still working, but it's more unpredictable. So that's what we are looking for. For the moment, Zentio is primarily targeting small and medium businesses. So we do have a strong belief that with the existing with the infrastructure that we are targeting, we are able to support properly with only having SEMBO 480. But still, a long way to go, integrate all of the modules properly.
Would you like to comment too?
Yeah, in our case, I think the to resettle the GUI on top of or the Python modules on top of SEMBO 4 is more it's just tedious work, but no fundamental problem, which would require some research or innovation. Would be to do the right now we are having modules triggered when you do changes in OpenLDAP, and we're having a small open overlay in OpenLDAP that simply generates these change lists, and which is asynchronous, and we would have to port this to an LDB module, and then you kind of have to think about, well, this is multi-master, do we have to think about things? There are different partitions. I don't know. Yeah. It would be like a weekend to think about.
Yeah, the main problem with the rewriting the modules are schema extensions, because a lot of them use custom schemas.
So the practical thing is we're almost out of time and the next talk will be. So this would be a nice comment at the end. Thank you very much.